Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
And Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way, the newest book in the Wise Woman Herbal series.
So exciting.
In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses.
TheWiseWomanSchool.com. Join us there for colorful, instructive, easy video courses, including Easy Herbal Medicine with Susan Weed, Happy Knees, a cancer diagnosis, adaptogens for long life, and Abundantly Well companion course, wisewomanschool.com.
You can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine, and welcome, everyone. We are still waiting for Susan to join us in the queue here. I'll say happy 4th of July to everyone, and we also do not have a guest this evening, so I'm not sure how Susan is going to handle that. We may do extra time for questions and answers, or maybe we will end 30 minutes early. But either way, we'll be looking for Susan to join us here. So let me see if I can do anything to help make that happen. All right. Hang on, everyone.
Sacred Born Mother, come to me. Make my way sacred, fill me with beauty. Sacred Born Mother, come to me. Make my way sacred, fill me with beauty. Fill me with mach mein Weg heilig für mich mit Schönheit. Heilige meine Mutter, komm zu mir, mach mein Weg heilig für mich mit Schönheit.
Hi, Zita.
Hey, Sarah Ellen. How's everything at your place tonight?
Going well. How are you?
Feeling a little frustrated with the weather.
Oh, still raining?
Raining. I've been counting like, okay, it hasn't rained in 3 hours. I'm going out to harvest. You know, usually I like to wait 36 hours.
Right.
But like, it's just like, and everything is covered in blossoms. The linden trees are drooping with blossoms. The smell is so intense. And of course, we're sitting here right now under the linden tree. And the hypericum is just covered in flowers. And I'm just picking red clover blossom after red clover blossom when I get a chance to pick. Mostly they're like little, you know, wet sponges. So what have you been harvesting? Oh. We're not connected. Well, let's...
Are you there, Susan? Oh, hang on. Okay, are you there, Susan?
I'm here. You seem to have disappeared.
Okay, sorry. All of a sudden, there's two of you here in the queue, so I had a line open that was I've never seen that before, but sorry about that, everyone. I don't know what you heard or didn't hear, because I think I was talking to the other number that's open in the queue.
I heard nothing. It was like you disappeared.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, I think you can hear me now. So
I can hear you well.
All right. So what did I harvest this week? I harvested elderflowers. That I just did today. The elders here are just in amazing bloom, more than I've ever seen around here. So I was able to get some elderflowers and make some tincture this year. And I found some St. Joan's wort yesterday on the ride home from we went into Chicago. So I may go by the train tracks tomorrow and see if I can harvest some, because that's the only place I've seen her growing around here. But other than that, just enjoying the daylilies on salads, and the red clover blossoms are amazing. I haven't been harvesting them to dry them, but putting them on salads and eating them while I'm outside. So that's pretty much been my harvest.
I've been reading a 15-page article from the National Institute of Health on phytoestrogens.
Wow.
It's pretty... actually easy to read. You know, you have to know the names of a few compounds and not be scared off by organic chemistry. But other than that, really, it's not like arcane or difficult to understand, because I want to just, you know, brush up on my knowledge on phytoestrogens. After all, New Menopausal Years was penned a long time ago now. So, you know, I want to see if and where scientific thinking has changed or stayed the same. And the first thing that they said
is that the phytoestrogens in plants are the equivalent of a weak estrogen, not estradiol.
Oh.
So they were very, very clear about that. I think they said estrone, that was more equivalent to estrone.
Yes, I've come across that word too in looking at things.
Yeah.
It doesn't
and estrace. Estrone and estrace are types of estrogen that plant compounds convert into when they convert. But they don't convert. Even if they, when they're not estrogen to start with, they have to be converted by your body into estrogen. And when they are converted, they're converted into what's a weak estrogen. There are 29 weak estrogens and one strong one.
Hmm. Interesting. Where is this article?
Online.
Okay.
Yeah, it's National Institutes of Health, phytoestrogens.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's, you know, it's just kind of a survey paper. We want to look at phytoestrogens because they're so good for your health in this, and this way. And, of course, this is, why am I doing this? Because this is where red clover is getting slammed, right?
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm.
That somehow red clover is the equivalent of an estrogen that feeds cancer.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm, you know, trying to see if there's any reality base to this at all, because, of course, our subtitle is Let's Talk Sense About Phytoestrogens. So red clover and her sisters. And the bigger picture here is the whole phytoestrogenic scene, eh?
Right. It's very interesting. I knew not to underestimate. I know better than that at this point, thank goodness. But I was just wondering, really curious, like how much is there really going to be about research and information and people who are really passionate about red clover? I'm really just impressed at how much is there and how much I'm already learning, because in addition to estrogen, Denmark, I see it referred to in a study as oestrogen, and I also see them measuring isoflavones and talking about their effect in estrogen production in the body, but very interesting and beneficial in a lot of cases, although I'm also coming across like a lot of standard warnings about, you know, breastfeeding and pregnancy and anyone with estrogen-sensitive cancers and anyone on blood thinners, even on pages that are talking about working with red clover for many things and including with cancers, but then they'll put that disclaimer still on the page. And it's like, what? How? It's so confusing.
Somebody sent me the label from a box of dandelion root tea bags that she bought. And it was, I don't know, maybe 1,000 words in very small print about all the things that if any of these things are happening to you, you shouldn't drink this tea.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, like basically what it came down to was, if you're alive and breathing, don't drink this tea.
Wow.
And she said, what is this?
Mm.
And is it just people saying, well, we just want to be, you know, covered in case something happens and we can't get sued? So how much as a consumer do we have to ignore? Now, all along, we've been ignoring the warning on the comfrey, right?
Right.
It's almost like a shock when somebody says to me, oh, do you know it says on the comfrey bag not to use it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that.
And I'm so grateful that you're doing these, you know, deep look into one plant, because it even expands beyond the individual plant to give everyone an opportunity to remember to, you know, back up and look, you know, what's really true here and how can we look at the information and see what is being gleaned from experience and long-term hands-on and what's just being thrown out there as, you know, just like you said, like cautions just out of a false need to protect from something, I guess, from being sued or it's just frustrating because generations from now, I can see like my nieces and nephews or people's grandkids just being so familiar with food from a box or food from a lab or food that's not wild because they've been just scared away from it and they don't have the opportunity to experience it in their everyday lives. And I don't even like to think about that, but I've been around young kids lately and I see that there is this, some of them anyways, kind of are being taught to be afraid of nature and be afraid of things outside rather than like learning that they can build their senses and their awareness outside. So I think it's really important that we're sharing as much information and wisdom and actual use information with people.
Yes, and I remember when I was released from the hospital 3 years ago, and they said, you absolutely have to inject yourself with this, or you're going to get blood clots and you're going to die. And, you know, I didn't especially want to do it, but I'm doing it, and I'm reading the package insert because, hey, they really don't want to have to deal with insurance problems. And so the package inserts go on and on and on and on and on. It's not just 1,000 words. It's like 10,000 words, right? But in this package insert, in a big black box, it says, if you're over 65 and you use this drug, when you stop using it, your risk of a stroke and a blood clot goes way high. And I said, well, gee golly, I'm over 65. I don't want to use this. And so I called my doctors, and I said, I don't want to use this. I'm going to stop taking this. I'm going to stop injecting myself with this. This is not good. And every single one of them said, well, don't pay any attention to that package insert.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Now, that's crazy.
And, of course, the reason I bring this up is because somehow people are led to believe that drugs are safer than herbs.
Right. Right. And the more...
Like, we know that this is completely unfactual, that, in fact,
right,
the correct drug... correctly prescribed and correctly used, nonetheless, kills people.
Yeah. And they certainly don't build health, which is just something that I think is so important to be aware of if you choose a pharmaceutical option, especially as a long-term therapy. It's one thing if you need it to get through a point or to get stabilized in a certain thing or... But I think, you know, as a long-term therapy for, like, diabetes and cholesterol, there's so many lifestyle options and wild food options and herbal options, wild or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Harvard Medical School says, do bone-building drugs really prevent hip fracture? An international, excuse me, team of researchers has pored over scores of study of bone density, osteoporosis, and hip fracture, and concluded that the number of hip fractures that have been prevented by bone-building drugs called bisphosphonates since 1995 does not justify either the expense or the side effects. That drug therapy doesn't prevent hip fracture in women over 75. They found that half of the people who fracture a hip don't have osteoporosis. They found that exercise training can prevent 60% of hip fractures. The researchers suggested that older women should consider stopping smoking, increasing exercise, and following a healthy diet before taking drugs. Thank you, international team of researchers, and especially because they found that the drugs weren't very good at preventing vertebral fractures. So it says if you're taking Fosamax, Reclast, Evista, or Prolia, you should review this with your doctor. And even if you keep taking the drug, exercising more, eating better is a good idea. And, of course, the easy way to eat better is just start drinking a quart of nourishing herbal infusion a day.
Mm-hmm. And have you been coming across all the information and research about red clover and strong bones?
Isn't it beautiful?
Amazing. Amazing. Like, I really did not know that. I just always was thinking more about the nettle and the comfrey and, I don't know, the oat straw, but I just really wasn't thinking about red clover in that way. But it makes, so interesting, so interesting. And I found another study. I would love to be able to get one of these ladies to join us, but they're taking it so far as they're working with women who have breast cancer and are on tamoxifen, and they are asking if lifestyle changes, including consuming red clover, would have an effect on anything while they're taking tamoxifen.
Wow.
Yeah, they're in Italy. I thought, wow, how interesting that they're doing that. So,
red clover is an herb that it has and continues to be very strongly researched, especially for its effects on menopause.
Mm. Yes.
So we're going to have an amazing cast of characters. The thing that took me, I guess, the most by surprise was the number of places who advise you to pull up all the red clover you see anywhere because it's invasive.
Mm. Wow. I haven't come across that as much. I've come across some literature about how a lot of the most medicinal qualities have been bred out of it in the attempts to make it so available for livestock. And at least this one gentleman in particular whose red clover is in Denmark, and it's been researched. It's been used for studies over there, and they were measuring certain components of it. So it's interesting just because when I look to purchase red clover seed, that's usually where it takes me is to the agriculture end of things. And I've never really felt right about purchasing it that way. So I thought that was a little interesting.
Yes, it is. I wonder if there are specific strains that have been developed. Sounds like that's what you're saying.
That's what he was suggesting. So I'm hoping to get in touch with him. It seems like he has a lot going on with red clover. So there's some, like you said, will be an amazing cast of characters. It's just a matter of which one and how many. So, yeah, very exciting.
Well, I so appreciate appreciate all of your reaching out to people. And you don't have to wait for us to invite you. If you want to do a Red Clover short, or if you want to do a Red Clover presentation, those links are ready. And you can apply to be a presenter. You don't have to apply for the short. You just send us the short. So we are on a roll heading toward the Red Clover Conference, and Durga and I are working on the Red Clover Goddess. I, as usual, am being a bear about botanical accuracy.
Love
she had
that.
This very beautiful design element where the red clover flowers were coming out of the leaves on these long stalks.
Oh.
But they don't.
Right.
And Justine took a gorgeous picture. She got a new phone, and the new phone has, oh my gosh, it has so many camera lenses on there. It's kind of crazy. And one of them is a real close-up lens, and so she got a picture of an individual clover flower.
Wow.
Not the whole head, which is hundreds of flowers, but an individual flower. It's stunning.
Oh, that is amazing. That must be an amazing camera. Wow, Jeff.
It is. I'm going to see if Durga can work that in to the design. It deserves to be seen by us all somehow, but we'll see what happens.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Very exciting. So, let's see. The word that I got was that our guest tonight had something come up in her life and cannot be with us, and that's one of the reasons that Sarah and Ellen and I are just kind of talking right now, because we're doing the show a bit in reverse. We're talking now, and then we're just going to get your questions right through until 9:30 tonight. Is that what you heard, Sarah Ellen?
That's what I heard, yes.
Okay. So this is our plan of action. So I hope you have lots of questions tonight. Justine said that there were questions that we weren't able to answer last week, so I guess it should be easy enough to have lots this week.
Oh, okay. I didn't get any email questions from Justine, but I know there were.
Well, maybe they weren't emails. Maybe they were just people who had their hands raised.
There were a couple that had their hands raised after our guest didn't show up and once he started talking about the psychedelics. So maybe they will have their questions and appear tonight.
Did he ever get in touch with us? Our didn't-show-up guest?
No, I don't know what happened there. I texted him and emailed him and asked him to please, you know, call in, like, now is your time. And it was not a peep.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what... Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I wonder what Miss Manners would say about that.
Right. I do wonder. Oh, well. It was so fun listening you talk about, you know, doing your best to tune in to what Michael might have said, but share what Susan is saying. And that was really fun to listen to. So.
I'm so glad. Oh, let's see what else. We've been harvesting mullein. And there's a grub in some of the stands of mullein we're going to, there's a grub in, like, I would say maybe 75% of it, which is just starting from the top. And the grub, like, the eggs must be laid into the flowering stalk because it never actually flowers. It's just the grubs just start eating their way down through the stalk. And they leave, they don't eat the hair. So they leave behind, it looks like, something has made a big nest in the mullein because they leave all the hair behind. And have you ever noticed that when the mullein gets injured, has like a blackish sap?
I have not. I only have my first mullein now, so I have
right.
not.
Right, and because
that.
They've injured it, it's black, so it's like fluffy black stuff that they leave behind. But because they start at the top, we can still harvest the large leaves. And so that's one thing that I've been doing, although you know that the reason I started harvesting mullein by the whole stalk was because I got really fractious about having to handle so many individual leaves. I did the same thing with comfrey. I harvest the whole comfrey stalk and just hang it upside down to dry. It's just so much easier.
So much easier.
Not like I pick the nettle leaves individually and dry them. I dry them up the stalk, too. Stalks is good. But where we can, you know, we're leaving like extra mullein flower and seed. So I'm not harvesting even as many flowering plants as I ordinarily would from the groups.
I see.
Because I want to just really ensure that there's plenty, given how many of them aren't going to be able to flower or make seeds.
That sounds wise.
So, mullein, we're eating raspberries. The elder is still in blossom. It's hard to believe, but here and there, I'm still seeing elder blossoms kind of on the shady side of the mullein. I'd never before have seen it in full bloom for 3 weeks.
It's been amazing. I told my husband today.
It's almost twice as long as the usual bloom period.
Oh, it's so interesting that's happening there, too. And then you talked about it being fever remedies, so I'm like, okay, I have to put up some of this because I remember when Boneset appeared, and I was so grateful the following year in 2020 that I had Boneset. And I had never seen it before, but it was, like, that year just so pronounced. And so that's how the elderflowers are here. And there, too, it sounds like. Amazing.
Yeah. And, daylilies. It's a great year for the daylilies. It's sometimes hard for visitors to believe that those are wildflowers.
Yes, I see them being sold now, too, like at the you know, big box
store. Well, they're also cultivated flowers, and I mean there's hundreds of cultivars of daylilies, every color in the book, and a bunch you haven't thought of. But I mean the orange ones.
Right, that's what, yeah. But I've even started to see the orange ones at the stores. I mean,
that's a good way to make a buck.
Yeah.
They're very prolific. You know, you can really dig them up and thin them every third or fourth year.
Yeah, I love the daylilies. They're so, they're just so happy.
Yeah.
The
Greenwich holiday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be going up to Herb Hill with Gretchen on Saturday. Our annual pilgrimage.
Nice. Such a marvelous place. I was only there that once, but never to be forgotten. So amazing there. Gretchen is such a fabulous hostess.
He said, I'm a fake herbalist. I'm not running a business anymore. I said, good, we're just going to like set aside all your decades of experience, right?
It is
such a gift to be able to sit and to receive the stories from the elders. Reminded her that in the ages of woman, from 86 to 106, you kick back and let the apprentices do it.
Yeah, that's right. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have any questions already on the board?
We do. We've got two hands that have already gone up, and I'll remind everyone listening that if you have a question, and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, press 1. We'll see your hand go up in the queue, and your line will be opened when it's your turn. Our first caller is dialed in from the 845 area code. So from the 845, you are live with Susan.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, what's up tonight? And happy 4th of July.
Oh, lucky me. I feel so independent today. It's it's marvelous to sit in gratitude. It really is. Thank you, Sarah Ellen. And hi, Susan. I love all your talk tonight. Sometimes I want to ask you an hour's worth of questions, but you just sit there and meticulously address one after another after another after another, and I'm like, oh, great. I don't have to ask. One thing I would like to ask is if I can get walking again by next summer to go up to Gretchen's, what is the difficulty of this gathering? I take it she's an elder and her apprentices that are 78 are showing up to help her or sit with her. So maybe I might be able to include myself if I joined for, I don't know if it's a Green Witch weekend or what it is.
It's our Green Witch holiday.
Yes, that.
And you certainly would be able to do that.
Oh, wonderful.
And in general, the Green Witch holiday includes time outside with the goats. And that's usually because I'm wearing as many hats as a coat rack. Right.
Wait, I don't understand, because you're wearing hats, you're outside with the goat.
The goat herder, the cook, the teacher. So I'm going to wear all those hats, it's best for me to do them at once. Now, this particular herd of goats that I have right now does not need long walks.
Uh-huh.
They are, in fact, goats where you can easily take a very short walk with them, like 3 minutes, and then sit down for an hour.
That's my goal. That is my goal. By next year this time, if I could do that, I would feel like the most blessed person in the world.
These goats would be happy.
And I know I can get there.
Happy to support you in that. And to go to Gretchen's, we get in the car, and we take ourselves up to Gretchen's. And from the car to the picnic table is about, maybe a 30-second walk.
Okay.
And you can stay at the picnic table. We have a wonderful feast there. So one of the first things we do is like, hi, we're here, let's eat.
Yeah, good.
We eat and we talk, and then Gretchen, you know, usually says, just go and get whatever you want, and I take them out, and it's just acre upon acre, and you can just wander around. She can sit at the picnic table and talk to Gretchen, because she's not going to go out, or you can wander out. There's wild thyme. I'll tell you truthfully, I crawl into where the wild thyme is and just lay there and harvest it.
I was just going to say, I have utilized my crawling to the utmost, and I'm not embarrassed to do it whenever I need to. And this is how I'm making myself better. Actually, I can't crawl on my knees, but I crawl on all fours. You know, palm, palm, foot, foot.
Got it.
I guess that's not really a crawl. I don't know what you call it.
Like a downward dog walking.
Yeah, whatever you call that, I do it.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm getting around a lot easier, and I have found myself on two or three occasions in just the last week getting up and walking five steps without even thinking about it till I realize, oh, no. But I never try to go too far. It's just that, like, I'm there, and sometimes the last time I sat there for, like, an hour, and then they said, okay, let's go. And I looked at the car, and I was like, wait, where's my crutches? I was like, oh, my, I walked here. I have to walk back.
Oh, that's magnificent. That's so great.
It is. It is. So I successfully harvested a couple of plants I wanted to with the help of a friend. One of them I was able to do myself, and the other one was a rocky beach, so I had to sit in the car and let them go get it and bring it back, and I had my bottle of vodka waiting right there and my oil. I was like, it has to be done right now. So, but I was thinking about the mullein. The mullein is my most favorite plant this year. It has served me well. And I have some sitting here with the whole stalk, which I've never done before. I've only, you know, just taken the leaves or the flowers. I've never tried the root. I'm definitely doing the root. I need more because I'm absolutely certain it's going to be a powerhouse for bone inflammation and pain. And I was reading, I believe it was the mullein root, that takes down the bursa around the bone, which I have a problem with the swelling. I have all these, like, fluid sacs around the bones, all through my foot and my ankle, particularly the top of the front of the ankle. I know there's a name for that, the tibia. So, anyway, I'm very excited about this plant. I've always adored it. I've had trouble with the leaves molding in the past during the drying session, and I'm not one much for fancy gadgets like fans and stuff like that, you know. But it's probably a worthwhile investment, huh? In the hot, humid.
Well,
Dave,
as I said, my preference is to harvest the whole stalk and to hang the entire right.
Yeah.
With
do you use a fan?
And I do not find that they mold up. But I am also as careful as I can be to pick plants that aren't wet.
These were dry.
You get it wet, it's going to be difficult to deal with mold. The leaves.
We went out in the latter part Saturday,
leaves,
which
I have
was
been
about
air drying on
days,
a big
I mean,
open leaves basket.
Well, that's a lot of leaf for a little basket. Or you just
it's
keep pluffing
big
it up.
Basket.
Like,
the basket is about 3 feet across.
3 feet?
Yes. And I have it.
Wow.
I have two of them, and they're hung from the ceiling. And one of them I'm using to dry red clover, and the other one I'm using to dry mullein leaves. And I arrange the mullein leaves with the stalk end toward the center so that they make a mandala.
Oh, so
and
they kind of hang out. Yeah.
Over the, they're big leaves, right? So they droop over the edge of the drying basket.
Yeah, I'm using boxes. Like, I have them drooped over the boxes, and I turn them, like, twice a day and flip the leaves like that. Yeah.
Right. The difficulty there is that they're on a surface. If you have like a cooling rack, like a cookie cooling rack, if you could put between them in the box, that would be good.
Yeah. I'm a little crowded.
Just anything
with
to increase air circulation.
Yeah, I'm going for vertical space. Like these boxes are stacked up like 4.5 feet tall. Like. Yeah.
Many cooling racks.
Yeah. Well, something to think about for the future. And another thing I was reading was It said 7 to 10 days, which I thought was a little short, but what? How many days do you do?
Well, right
depends
now,
on humidity,
we're
right?
In what I call what comes down must go up.
What do you mean?
When it rains in the Catskills, it's then humid.
Yeah.
Not just a little humid. If the humidity is 100% when it's raining, then the next day it's 98% when it's unraining. What comes down must go up.
Right. Well, we're lucky.
But all of that rain is going back up in the form of moisture. So if they're saying 7 to 10 days, I would say, yeah, 7 to 10 bright, sunny, hot days. So
dry
none of these days count.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed
not
the humidity.
Not just 7 to 10 any days.
Yeah.
It's always fun talking to Astrid Grove in Colorado because the humidity there runs like 10%.
I know. I used to
but
be out
are
there.
Like, it's virtually dry before they get home with them.
Oh, yeah. When you're and same thing in Nevada. When you're up in that kind of elevation, there's no humidity.
There's no humidity, right?
None. Zero. You don't even feel the heat.
Right. So 7 to 10 days, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's got to be 7 to 10 days like that.
It's funny when you read stuff like how nothing like that is considered. These are the important questions, too. Well, the humidity's been, I think, kind of favorable, generally average in the 60s, which is still considered tropical, though, but, you know, last year it was
it makes
like
my
90s.
Hair curly.
Huh?
It certainly makes my hair curly.
Oh, your hair is so pretty.
That's
I really
what I
like
do. That's what I always complain
enough.
When I visit my friend in the desert. I say, your lack of humidity uncurls my hair.
Uncurls it.
Yes.
I was noticing your
hair shaft absorbing the moisture, right? And because
right.
it absorbs more moisture than it is big, it has to curl.
Right.
Right. So when it dries
more
out,
volume.
It's just like... It's just
flat.
Goes, flattens out, right?
Your hair really
well, I'm
looks
so glad
the...
that you are harvesting mullein and that you are finding it a wonderful ally and exploring it more. The root, of course, needs to come from the first-year plant, not the one with the stalk.
Right. It gets very, very shriveled up and woody the second year.
The second year, it's like not much root at all, yeah.
No, not much at all. It's just a straggly little thing. I was also reading that it helps to, let me think of the right word. Replace a less desirable biofilm in the gut with a more desirable biofilm.
Oh, nice.
And I did notice when I did an experiment and drank it for a month straight, and I was like, I feel really good in the gut. And it really helps to, it's got like a little bit of a calming effect. I wouldn't say sedative, although I've read that. I don't consider
that
true.
That's the stalk and the root.
The stalk and the root have more
the stalk
of
and
a
the
sedating
root. The
effect?
Root of, at the end of the first year, and then what's in the root as it goes up the stalk.
Right. Well, there's
and
not really a stalk the first year.
It a noted sedative effect, and it's especially sedative on the cough reflex.
Oh, I love it for the lungs. It's my number one go-to. And I've had others, and I can't, I said, nothing will ever replace echinacea, for instance. And like, oh, no, mullein's doing it.
Yay, Mullen.
I think it also, if it can do that to the biofilm in the gut and cross that barrier, I also feel very clear-headed when I drink it. I feel like my thinking is easy and clear, like very insightful, light, but not airy. Just where I would want it to be. So I don't know if that's true or not. It's just a thought. So the picture of the...
I think that it is true. Mullen has a lot of interesting lore to it. And especially when you have a plant that has such a pronounced movement upward, exploding into yellow flowers.
Yeah.
Then...
like a torch.
And you just see that torch, and you see that clear thought, and you see that sun in your head.
It's such a happy plant. I think it has converted even the most die-hard weed killers, like, oh, this is actually a nice thing to have around. Maybe next year you can do mullen for your herbal symposium.
Well, perhaps.
I'm sure you have thoughts already.
To champion the herbs that are somehow being told are particularly unsafe.
Well, that's true. And I do appreciate that.
And so I'm kind of thinking, you know, at some point we have to get into, like, how come it's hard for me to buy kava? What is going on there? And what's with ephedra? And, you know, there's some other that I don't necessarily think would warrant a whole conference, but maybe we'll have a conference on your favorite maligned herb and why it shouldn't be maligned.
Well, if you did something like kava... like you said, this year, you could always do a plant that had some kind of similar benefit, like pain relief or whatever.
Yeah, well, red clover and your sisters keeps it in the clover family. And there's really nothing much like kava. Kava is so unique.
Red clover was one of my major herbs I was, unfortunately, buying... tablets and taking them, and also the same with alfalfa. And I was diagnosed loosely with an estrogen-related cancer. I definitely had growths in my breasts and my ovaries. My breasts went from a 32B to like a 38 double D. Like, kaboom! Look at my rockets, you know. And everybody was sick, and it turns out it was from the pesticides from the farms we were living next to. And, of course, we know that bad stuff has been banned around here. Good to know. But I bought into it hook, line, and sinker, and I said, but Susan Weed, her book right here says clover is good for breast cancers and breast problems and estrogen-related cancers, which they were saying that's what the pesticides did. And I was so young and gullible and desperate and busy, I crumbled. And I stopped taking them. Now that I know you, I'm glad I'm not taking tablets anymore. Now I know... make the infusion. And I heard what you said about the alfalfa with the seeds, with the rhododendron or whatever it was that was
the bee poison.
But we grew our own alfalfa because we had horses. So I don't think our alfalfa was bad, but it was very late in the game when I started learning, and it's from one of the sisters from the Wolf Clan. that I could actually just go to the field and cut the plant and make my own. And it's because she knew you that I learned about you. And, in fact, I met you through her, and she brought me to your house one day, your old house, the one that burnt down. And
I've never had a house that burnt down. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought you said it burnt down, the house you lived in before you moved where you are now, the one that was
No?
Huh?
No.
No?
No. An apprentice burned my barn down.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's the only fire that we've had here. And it's the only fire we will have here.
Right. But I'm quite certain that it was in the early 90s that you lived at another house.
I've lived here since 1978.
Really? Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, I know where you live now. It's just, I guess when you're in your 20s, going somewhere doesn't seem quite as strange as it is, like, once you start to get older and question every hill and turn and mountain, you know, like, can I do this?
From California in New York City in 1965, and my daughter in 1966, started spending weekends upstate near Woodstock in 1967, and I bought a property in the Catskill Mountains in 1969-1970. And then have been living here, bought this property in 1978, and I've been living here since 1978.
Wow. I am happy that you corrected my historic memory.
Yeah, so I
thank you for that.
Pretty much, actually, the place that we rented and came up on weekends from the city is half a mile away from where I live right now, interestingly enough.
Maybe that's the place I went to, but I didn't get to see you till like at least 1990 or 1991.
I'm sure the place that you came to is the quarry.
Where you are.
The quarry, where I am, right? The quarry, the big quarry.
Wow. Well, I never thought I would end up living near you.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about your next conference.
I built a house of my own on land that I didn't own, land that somebody said, oh, of course you can build a house here, and then 2 years later decided that she hated me and threw me off the land. And it was from there that I started looking. That was in the 70s, and it was from there that I started looking with land partners for the land that we eventually wound up buying in 1978.
Well, I'm happy for you. I think people should try to stay where they are longer. It really makes a difference. I've been where I am now 26 years, and it's just beginning to feel like home, like where I don't have any doubts about anything. Like,
how wonderful.
Anything. Yeah, I know who's here, who's not. I mean, I had a raccoon in the house yesterday to come say hello.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I said oh no, too, because I was like, you're getting a little bit, aggressive here with your behavior. Like,
yeah, they carry rabies, so.
Yeah, that too. They got funny eyes. They don't look like they really, like, look at you. They look like they're looking, like, they make me feel like I'm a ghost.
Funny.
It's like the Walking Dead kind of a look when they look at you. I mean, not little baby ones. This was, you know, a full-grown giant one. Yeah, well, because he figured out that the cat has food, and the cat comes in the house and eats food. And I left the door open for a second because the cat wasn't quite finished and I knew he wanted to go outside. So I said, ah, I'll leave the door open for a few minutes. And then, you know, that happened. But I always say, well...
That's why many of us do not have cat doors in the country because they become raccoon doors.
Yes. I better see what Grandmother Twyla has to say about this because it also ate all my important flowers. And I was not very happy about
that. In your
garden? Yes.
Woodchuck.
I'm growing everything like as close as I can.
I think the raccoon is blameless in eating the flowers. I'm going to pin it on the woodchucks.
I knew you would say that, and I'm like, I've never seen a woodchuck. Do they make any noise? I mean, I never see it.
No.
They don't. They're silent. And when do they come
brown
out at night?
Balls of guts.
Really? More than a raccoon? Yeah, I'm like, it couldn't have been the raccoon. There were so many better things to eat on the porch, and he doesn't bother anything on the porch. And this was in the ground next to the porch. So I'm I thought it could have been
if
all
it was,
those deer
if it was
that ran in
plants above ground plants, it was probably a woodchuck or a deer. But
yeah, they love to get my echinacea.
Yep.
That's their number one thing. And they must say that's good medicine, too. Well, I better get off so other people can talk. But I do love you so much, and thank you for keeping me in your prayers. And I always know when things are going right that you thought of me well. Thank you, Susan.
Green blessings. Much love.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, and I will remind everyone listening, if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, please press 1 and we'll see your hand go up in the queue. At this time, we have two callers that have their hand raised, and we will go to the next one who's dialed in from the 603 area code. From the 603, you are live with Susan.
Hi, Susan. I'm so happy to talk to you. I'm picking linden, or I should say attempting to pick linden. The frequent rain showers have made it difficult. I haven't been able to pick it the last couple of years because the weather just wasn't cooperating. I'm attempting to do it this year. So I have questions concerning that. Can it be picked when it's still a little wet or damp? Or is it better to try to wait for a sunny day, although then I'm risking more rain. So then I'm trying to decide, well, do I pick it when it's a little damp and then just, you know, put it directly to the dehydrator? I'm also having trouble deciding when it's best because it's so iffy. Like yesterday when I went out, it was finally no rain. And some blossoms were there, but there were still a lot of buds. So I tried to pick the ones that were mostly in bloom that had the least amount of buds that have not opened yet. But then, of course, it poured today, so then I couldn't pick any at all. But then the sun later is coming up tomorrow, so hopefully they won't be too far gone. So,
they won't.
Is it worthwhile?
If they're still in buds, you have another week at least.
It's still what?
If there's still that many buds, you have another week at least. And bloom times are being very extensive this year, as we were talking about with the elder. Usually you get about 10 or 12 to get the elder, and the elder has been constantly in bloom for at least 22 days now.
I did notice that about the elder because that's in my backyard, but
the linden is doing the same thing.
Okay.
So
okay.
I went out to one of the lindens that I like to harvest. We harvest it from a boat. It hangs out over the creek where our boat is harbored, and we just go down and we can just motor under the tree and pick from where it hangs out over the water. And it was in, like, full bud, but only one or two of the flowers were open. We came back a week later, and all of the flowers were open. And that was kind of slow. I was a little worried that we were going to be late. But, again, I think it's because of the rain, because it's cool. Not just that it's wet, it's cool. And so the plants are not bursting into bloom the way they would if it was a really hot June or July. Now, this time of the year, it could be, well, I'm not in Texas, thank goodness, where it is, those scorching temperatures. But here, it's been very cool summer.
So I hear what you're saying. For me, it's difficult because I have to reach up to these trees. You know, my neck gets sore. But now the ones closer to my home were the ones I attempted to pick yesterday, but then today I managed to go in between. We actually had a little bit of a dry spell, and there's another place about a couple miles away, and I was so surprised because those are almost totally gone, although they still had an aroma, like there were no unopened buds yet. But it still had an aroma, so I still thought, well, I wonder if Susan would say these are still viable.
You mean that it's totally gone? Were there seeds rather than flowers?
Well, what I mean was there were only a few that had some white flowers left, but there was still an aroma, so I thought, well, maybe I'll pick them anyway. You know, I wonder if they, as long as they're still an aroma, as long as they still have an aroma,
aroma, and a lot of the medicine is in that green strap. So long as that green strappy thing is a good color.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that seems to be happening in both these locations is what I call it the tongue. I know it has a correct botanical name, which I forget. You mentioned it years ago. But it seems that these trees are, the tongue gets damaged, and the leaves on the trees look like they have some kind of bumps or disease or something. But the blossoms themselves seem okay, but the tongue part seems, you know, it's like a little bit damaged as well.
Well, but I don't mind sharing. Damage is okay with me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because the polyphenols are in that part that you're calling the tongue, the samara.
Oh, okay. So even though they don't look so good, like they're damaged or a little bit black or brown.
Very important medicinal constituents.
In that, tongue.
Yes.
And that part are the most polyphenols.
Most polyphenols,
now,
yes.
Okay, so when is it still okay, in what stage, to still pick them to get the nutrition from the blossoms?
They're not that nutritious. Linden is in our five-herb rotation because it's an anti-inflammatory.
That's what I wanted.
And it's a lot of polyphenols that make it an anti-inflammatory. The other herbs...
Oh.
Comfrey, oat straw, red clover, and nettle are very rich in protein. They are literally nourishing. They're very rich in minerals. Linden has some minerals, but it's not a dense part of the plant. It's a part of the plant that's there and gone, so the plant doesn't invest that many minerals in it. Like all growing plant parts, there are vitamins. Of course, there's going to be vitamins that we will get. That, especially some fun B vitamins. But the primary reason that we are drinking a quart of linden every fifth day is to help reduce and to quell inflammation throughout the body.
Okay, and you say the most polyphenols are in the tongue. So what? So if there
you
want
to be sure to pick
any...
that along with the flowers, you pick the whole thing, right? I find it usually just pull up on the where the tongue attaches. And the trees we've been harvesting from are so heavenly laden that we're just like, you know, we could grab like 3 to 5 of them at once. I've really never seen the lindens blossoming so profusely. I mean, I'm laying here looking up, and it seems to me like I'm looking up at a million linden blossoms.
Wow. How fortunate.
Against the sky as it darkens. So beautiful, and the smell is so great. And, of course, my neighbors are shooting off the fireworks. I'm sure you can hear that.
I hear them.
It's the sky.
Yes, I hear them.
They're going to add to it. I was just reading an article that people are turning to laser lights and doing laser lights in the sky instead of fireworks. So I thought, yes, I hope this catches on. This is much quieter.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind seeing three lights in the sky, but I much like the noise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
to answer my question about when they're damp,
really good question. How much leeway do we have when it's raining? Do we get to harvest anything at all? How do we do this, especially for plants that we want to dry? And you're going to do some things that are going to wind up with moldy herb or herb that you can't use, and that's okay. Then you won't do it again. Again, my general rule is that I, for an herb that I'm going to dry, I want it not to have rained for 36 hours. I'm harvesting linden blossoms if I get a sunny morning. So if it doesn't rain all night and then it's sunny in the morning, then I will harvest linden because they are not wet. Especially because it hangs upside down and it's somewhat protected by the tree. I wouldn't be able to go out and harvest elderflowers, for instance, right? They bloom up and they're very exposed. I'd really have to wait the whole day and a half. But the elder, because there are natural yeasts and other things on the elder that get washed away by the rain. But that's not happening with the linden. Even in the rain, we can still smell the linden because of the way it acts like an umbrella for itself, right? Like it has this little tongue, which is like a little shelter for it, and then the flowers all open downward. So the nectar and the sweetness and the aroma is preserved. The other thing that I use as a guide when I'm harvesting flowers is follow the bees.
Right.
Right? If the bees say it's too wet to harvest, they're probably right.
Mhm. Okay.
So I'm going to endangered plants so that if you pick some and it winds up molding, that you've done some horrible harm. We're talking about a common plant, the flowers of the plant, so it's not really hurting the plant at all. And if you pick some that winds up being too wet and it molds up, you'll go, okay, I pushed it on there. That one can't do that.
Right. Okay.
Right, but we do, you know, we all get a little desperate, especially when it rains the way it's been raining, which is, look, it's sunny, get your basket, and by the time you get your basket and your scissors, it's raining.
Again, and again.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't do this.
Right. Well, I have missed it so many times this season, like, because, like, I was gone, like, on the day when it was, like, fully in bloom. And then by the time I got back, there were mostly just seed pods left. So I said, well, I don't think that has any value.
Were used, I think, during World War I as a chocolate substitute.
As a chocolate substitute?
Yes, they were collected and ground up and used as a chocolate substitute. They're quite edible. They have those nasty little, like, they're rounds. You think, oh, how nice, but then they have that little pokey thing on the end of it that really hurts your bare feet.
I don't know what you mean, the round part of the linden
is round.
Yes.
It has a sharp little piece that sticks out from the end of it.
Oh, really? I never noticed that.
Perhaps you
don't want I stayed away from
if you
want to
listen on them,
you
will notice it's quite personal.
Wow. Yeah, I would never seem to walk barefoot on them.
Ow.
So is it still, I think I heard you say that it's still worthwhile to pick the linden blossoms as long as the tongue part is not dried up.
So long as the tongue part is green. It's a bright green. It's like a yellowish green.
Right.
But
okay.
So long as it's vibrant, then it's still going to make good medicine.
It's still going to make good anti-inflammatory
good
medicine. Okay. Well, thank you so much for
thank you for your questions. Excellent questions.
Have a good night. Thank you. Green blessings. Good night.
All right. If you have a question please do press 1 so that we can see your hand go up in the queue. At this time, we have one caller who has raised their hand. He's dialed in from the 908 area code. From the 908, you are live with Susan.
Oh, hi, Susan. It's Carol. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, hey, Carol. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm great hearing your voice. So I'm asking you a question for suggestions on how to organize all these tinctures. They just seem to be everywhere, and shoeboxes, plastic bins, alphabetical order. I was wondering for your suggestions.
You know, ordering is a wonderful thing, and humans love it.
Yes.
Nature, however, doesn't. Nature really prefers chaos. And so any way you order those is going to be good and will probably sooner rather than later become disorganized. Because it is the nature of things that we are using and using a lot. So my organization tends more toward things I use frequently in the front, the things I use infrequently in the back, and an inventory list on each shelf.
Wow. Inventory list. Oh, that's...
Right?
Wow. I never thought of that. Because I don't go looking in, you know, apothecaries.
So you do it shelf by shelf. You take it all the way back to whatever the wall is, and you neaten up everything, and you make yourself a list. And then you shove the stuff that you hardly ever use to the back, and you pull the things that you use all the time to the front. And there's your list so that you don't have to take it all apart every time. I have, a big, big basket, practically big enough to have a bath in, that I keep bags of dried culinary herbs. And the only way that I could do it that way is that I have an inventory list. Otherwise, I'd have to take, you know, everything out every time. And for that, I actually have the inventory list with the names of the herbs pretty much where they are and try to put them back in that big basket in that, you know, close to if it's at the bottom or the middle or the top.
Okay.
Because the truth of the matter is that I have herbs in every room of every building.
Wonderful.
So, you know, some are more organized than others.
Okay.
And I also tend to organize by menstruum. So I tend to put the vinegars with the vinegars and the tinctures with the tinctures and the oxymels with the oxymels and the honeys with the honeys.
Nice. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. Right. Well, wonderful. Are you getting food from your CSA now? Is it coming in?
Oh, absolutely.
CSA or
yeah.
Not?
Yeah, for more than a month. Yeah, we're getting lots of food from the CSA. Bok choy and squash.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, garlic.
Oh, super good.
Pigtails, all kinds of goodies.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. With Blog Talk Radio, when is it available? Like, is it available? Can I go here at the beginning at 9:30 when we're done? Or do I have to wait till tomorrow?
You know the answer to that, Sarah Ellen?
I don't think it's available right away. It may be after midnight, but it takes a few hours.
Okay.
That's what I thought, too.
Sarah Ellen. Hi, dear. Yes. Okay. Yes. Do you have any suggestions for the humidity seems to drain me, and do you have any suggestions for keeping yourself perked up during humidity?
Yes. A window air conditioning unit set on dry.
Oh.
It uses a lot less energy than turning on the AC, and it feels a lot cooler.
Oh, good. Yeah, wonderful.
And if you don't want to do that, then the next best thing is a big box fan.
Yes, okay, yes.
A bigger fan on the floor will do more than a smaller fan up high.
Okay, but then you would keep the door closed so the humidity doesn't come in, or leave the door open and blow the fan?
Feel it out. Try it out both ways. Open various windows, various doors until you have something that feels like it's really moving the humidity away from you.
Okay.
Different houses and different structures have different airflow patterns.
Yes,
and it's a lot of fun kind of going around opening and shutting windows and doors and figuring out how the air is moving.
Okay. I don't know if you've already said this on one of the broadcasts, but the smoke, for dealing with the smoke, did you say any suggestions?
Mullen milk, my favorite way. And then, let's see, I don't know if she posted it already, but Justine said, people's eyes are being bothered. Tell us something about your eye that can help your eyes. So we made a little 3-minute video about herbs to help your eyes. And there's smoke in the skies.
Oh,
as I said, I'm not sure if she's posted. She's working on, we have completed the long COVID course, and she's working on getting it up, and there's several glitches. But that should be hopefully by the end of this month, we'd have a long COVID course up. It's certainly one of our goals.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And that will be on SusanWeeb.com or Wise Woman School?
There'll be a link there, but it will be at WiseWomanSchool.com.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for doing all those wonderful things, and Justine. So I wanted to ask you how are you growing on the deck? How are the things coming along, the plants on the deck, your deck?
Well, I have two decks now. I have the deck here at the main house, where the teaching center, and then I have the deck at Pearl's house. And both are quite beautiful this year. We've been unwatering. We have not had to water. We've just had to unwater. And I really enjoy container gardening because I have far less woodchucks, far less deer, far fewer problems of all kinds in gardening in containers. So it's... A something that gives me enormous amount of joy. Lay out here looking up into the darkening linden tree, but we can still see the white blossoms glimmering almost as though they were a kind of pale firefly. As still a bit of light, because we can still see the difference between the sky and the clouds, and there's still a touch of light left in the sky, but all everything else is in deep, deep shadow, all the underneath of the trees, and then to be surrounded by all of the plants here on the deck and to feel how happy they are to be here and to be participating with all of us. A wonderful way to give yourself the healing blessing of green, to grow things in pots and planters and surround yourself with them.
Yes. And tonight, Susan, is it a full moon as well tonight?
I believe it is.
Okay. Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you so much. I love you dearly. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Love you, love you, love you too. I'm so glad I can lay out here that it's not raining. Oh, and here I thought that they had set off all their fireworks and they were just waiting for it to get darker.
Reloading their whatever they got going there. We can hear them for sure. Sounds like they're having the festivities. I am not seeing any hands in the queue that have been raised yet, so I'll remind everyone listening, if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, please press 1. That will allow us to see your hand go up in the queue, and we can open your line up for conversation.
And so, let's see, if we wind up without any more questions, and there aren't any email questions, and we don't have somebody to interview, then I'm going to say that we get to go home half an hour early.
Oh, all right. Well, everyone,
right?
You hear that? Yeah. Works for me.
I'm happy to stay here and answer questions. Sarah Ellen's happy to stay here. And if there aren't any email questions and there aren't any hands raised, then at 9 o'clock, we will bid you adieu until next week. All works for us.
All right. So, yes, we'll take another minute here or 30 seconds to let you find that number 1 on your phone and raise your hand. You've still got some time here if you would like to speak with Susan this evening. We do not have any email questions, but if you have a question and would like to send it in by email, you can just use the contact button that you'll find on any of Susan's web pages or thewisewomanschool.com. As long as you send it to the contact button, it will make its way to me, and then it will be presented to Susan on the show. All right. I am not seeing
Now, this Harvard Women's Health issue that I'm looking at, in which I told you about this study about osteoporosis drugs, they have paired that up with a wonderful article that says, how much calcium do you really need anyhow? And basically what it says is, you know that you're supposed to be getting 1,000 milligrams of calcium a day, but you'd be surprised to learn that there's a lot of health authorities that don't agree with that. In fact, there are many who think that you're going to really harm yourself if you take calcium supplements at that level. The World Health Organization says that the actual daily need for calcium is probably around 500 milligrams a day. When you consider that a quart of nourishing herbal infusion probably contains more than 500 milligrams of calcium, and that's almost any of those infusions. If you pair that with a cup of yogurt, which is going to get you 300 or 400 milligrams of calcium, especially if it's just plain yogurt, you can see how easy it is to get the calcium that you need. What I find that many people don't talk about is that calcium is a brittle mineral, and we need far more than calcium in our bones to keep them strong. We need flexibility minerals. And this is where the minerals and the nourishing herbal infusions really shine, because they add to the flexibility of the bone, creating real bone health then. In the past 2 decades, several clinical trials involving thousands of postmenopausal women have sought to determine how calcium intake affects the risk of hip fracture. Calcium and vitamin D supplements do not prevent fractures. That is their first bullet point. And you recall that I was in one of those studies, the VITAL study, one of the largest studies ever done in seeing about that supplementation. And then they also found that high calcium intake, either from food or pills, did not reduce the rate of hip fracture in anyone. So is calcium the golden girl it's made out to be? It's not insignificant, but she needs, like all of us, to have her friends.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone. Now we get the frog chorus.
They sound so beautiful.
Right, you know when this is it. Now it's really going to get dark. The frogs have started.
Sing it in.
Right, there's an absolute signal. If you're outside and you haven't yet, like, really, like, found a shelter for yourself, you've got about 5 minutes. Once the frog starts. Because it's still, I mean, we're still lulled into it here. It is still bright enough. The sky is bright enough, but that we think we've got tons of time before we have to take shelter. I know, I've camped out enough to suddenly find myself in the pitch dark. Remember, I told the story about camping on the frozen lake. Right, because we wound up pitching our tent in the pitch dark. And it wasn't until we woke up the next morning sinking that we discovered what we'd done.
That sounds like a very cold night.
No, it was a very cozy night. Great place. It was really flat. It was one of the flattest places I've ever camped.
Wow. On the
that alone should have tipped me off, don't you think? Flat, no trees. Hello, you're on a frozen lake.
Oh, my goodness.
Or maybe when it started sliding across the lake, we had to dump all of our gear in the corners to keep it from sliding. Maybe at that point we might have, like, gotten what was going on, but nah, we were too tired. We were really just too tired. We were totally exhausted.
Wow. Yeah. How fun.
I didn't hike in the mountains, and we were just like, I think I believe that we were even so tired that night, we just, like, went to sleep without eating.
Mm.
One of those where you're too tired to boil water things.
Wow.
But fortunately, we woke up early, and it was just the top layer that was thawing.
Thank goodness. Better than
Thank
waking
goodness
up
we were able to slide out. Ourselves out without any, without actually sinking to the depths. Well, Sarah Ellen, I thank you so much for all that you do to help reweave the healing cloak of the ancients into helping me restore herbal medicine to its rightful place as people's medicine. Just like calcium can't do it without her sisters, I couldn't do it without you. You're so precious to me. I love you so much. Thank you.
I love
and Justine, you too, honey. Justine has been making scores of videos. Stay tuned for them. She is really, she's got that new phone, and woohoo! He is getting me in all kinds of fun things that we are doing. Love you, Justine. Good night, everybody. Green blessings. Till next week.
Bye.